Luke chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the Christ Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I don't know if you've picked out what's on my heart this morning, but it says there in verse 44, and they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among the kinsfolk and acquaintances, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. They, supposing, I use the word, guess what? Assuming. I have looked at several things. I'll just throw them out. We can easily assume that planning means progress and promises means protection and prayer means promptness and profession means possession and position means purpose and performance means purity and people mean peace and providence means puppets and pause means panic and prosperity means promotion. I tell you what, that tired me out just saying it. It's easy to assume, to just think things are a certain way. When I first started this message, I picked out three particular verses in the Bible that had no connection whatsoever. But their one connection, since they had no connection, was the fact that in each occasion, somebody was assuming something to be true, but they were wrong. It is so easy to assume. Now, all those other things that I've mentioned, I'll let you think on them. But my thought this morning, it'll sound unusual, but it's exactly what I'm wanting to say. It's easy to assume that path means presence. Path means presence. They are on the path that led from their house to the house of God, the temple. They are on that same path, a road that leads from the church of God, the house of God, back to their home. They're on the right path, but there's one thing missing, the presence. They are missing the presence of God. Listen to me. They're going the right way. They're doing the right thing, but something is missing. Jesus wasn't with them. This is the first record we have of Jesus' life since the wise men came when he was a young child. It also is the last mention of Joseph, some believe, and I don't understand, I don't see why we couldn't assume this, that Joseph passed away at somewhat of an early age. But we do know here that Joseph and Mary and their family and their friends have been to the temple. They have worshiped with the Passover celebration and undoubtedly the unleavened bread, that 8-day festival, with both of them concluded. And now they're heading back home and they assume that Jesus is with them. Now that would be easier than it seems. To us, we think, how in the world could you lose your boy? Well, have you ever been to the mall during Christmas time? And I know he wasn't three, he was 12, but it's still a lot easier than we can imagine. See, when they traveled from their homes to the temple, they traveled in large crowds. Their family would get together and their friends would get together and they would go in large crowds. So when they were coming back home, no doubt the men many times walked with the men and the women walked with the women. So undoubtedly Joseph assumed that Jesus was with Mary, and Mary assumed, do you hear that word? Assumed that Jesus was with Joseph. And they went back home or headed back home, assuming that everything was fine. I can identify with this somewhat. I remember when we were back in the old building there in the church, and we had to go over to Sunnyside to have homecoming one time in their fellowship hall. Well, we had gotten through Eden, and we was getting ready to go home, and all the children there, and all of my family was there, and I said, well, let's get in the car, and let's go home, and I got in the car and I heard three other doors close, and I drive out and get on Scientific and start heading toward Kivett and look over there and there's David standing in the parking lot still. Well, I assumed we all got in. That's what I said. That was the instructions, and I heard enough doors to close, but I was wrong. So I kind of understand how you can leave a child behind. David just stood there like, where are they going? But I did go back and get him, by the way. We find here this morning that path means presence. At least we can assume it to be so. Could I mention first, the spiritual people. We're not talking about some ungodly bunch that doesn't recognize that God's around or doesn't recognize who or what the presence of the Lord is. These are spiritual people. These are godly people. They were worshiping at the right place. They had gone to the temple as God had decreed. They had gone to the place, we'd say it like this, they went to church. They were faithful in church. They were faithful to the church, to the house of God. They were doing the right thing and they were doing it the right way. They were worshiping in the right place. Verse 41 says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. They were faithful. They were the kind that was going to show up. They were there no matter what happened. They were going to be at church. Now, they didn't just hop in the car and ride 10 or 15 minutes to get to church. From Nazareth to Jerusalem was 70 miles. And they had to walk or ride on donkeys. So I'm telling you, it wasn't just a little scurrying over to the house of God. It took something to get to church then, and they paid the price because they loved God that much. I'm talking about they were spiritual people. Listen, here's my point. They were in church. In verse 43 says, they fulfilled the days. In other words, when they first went, the first day of festivity was the Passover, and after that there were seven more days of unleavened bread. So they undoubtedly stayed through the whole time. They were faithful to church, and they were glad to be there. They were spiritual people. They were worshiping at the right place. They were with the right people. They weren't hanging around the people of the bar or the red light district. They weren't connected to people who did not love God. They were with people like themselves. They were with godly people. They were with godly family. Notice in verse 44, when they started to seek for Jesus, it says they sought him among their kinfolk. So their family was with them, and their family that went with them also loved God like they did. They are not only worshiping at the right place, but they were with the right people. If you notice in verse 44, it also says they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. So not only were they with godly family, but they were with godly friends. I'm talking about if you look on the surface, there's nothing much better that could go on than what we find here going on. Godly people heading to church, worshiping God, and coming back home with them and their godly friends and their godly family. They are good and godly and spiritual people. It seems like so far everything's all right. The spiritual people, they were worshiping at the right place, and they were with the right people, and they were walking the right path. It says in verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the day, says they returned. I said already they were on that path from Nazareth to Jerusalem, from their home to the house of God. So either way they were going a good way. If they were going from home to the house of God, or they were leaving the house of God and going back home, that path, that road led them to a good place. They were going the right way. Listen, they were doing the right thing and doing it the right way, but something's still missing. Now, I'll tell you something. As believers, we can have all our ducks in a row, and we can do everything right and have godly friends and godly family and godly influence and godly practice and godly habits and do the best we can and make sure we're walking the straight and narrow path, and not because we feel like we got to or God's going to beat us up, but we do it because we love God and there can still be something missing. We can, here's the word, assume everything's all right, but it may not be. The spiritual people. But then number two, the serious problems. Everything so far, if you look at just what I analyzed so far, seems real good. Spiritual and godly people who leave their house and pay the price of going to church, and they stay there all the time they're supposed to, and there's no doubt their heart was in it, and they're going back home now to return to their home and to their families where they're still going to be loving God and still going to be doing right. But listen, there's a problem. In fact, there's more than one. The problem is you may have assumed what they were assuming. Verse 44, assuming him to have been in the company. They assumed that Jesus was there. They're doing all they've done since they left the house of God, that has gone through an entire day of traveling, an entire day of talking, an entire day of discussions, an entire day of heading back home, and they assumed that Jesus was there, but he wasn't. The presence of the Lord was missing. Now, I'll tell you something. It's easy to assume. I'm convinced there's people, perhaps even in this building right now, you assume you're saved. You assume you're going to heaven. But could I tell you something? There's a lot of people in hell who thought they were going to heaven, but they hadn't really gotten saved. They hadn't done what this Bible says they need to do to be saved, which means to recognize their sin, to admit their sin, confess their sin, come to the Lord and ask him to save them, forgive them, and turn their heart and life over to him and believe on him and trust him and only him to get them to heaven. I'll tell you, that's what the Bible says getting saved is. But a lot of people assume, if I do the best I can, that ought to be good enough. A lot of people assume, if I go to church and I'm a good citizen and I do the best I can and I do better than most, I think God will accept me. Well, we can assume anything. But that doesn't change the truth. The serious problems, the one problem, the main problem, was they were assuming that everything was all right when it wasn't. But us believers can also assume that everything's all right because of how we do and how we talk, and we're faithful to church and we try and do right. But I wonder, are we assuming incorrectly? Here's my thought. Is Jesus with us? Are we lacking his presence? Are we lacking his presence. I tell you what, like the song that Mindy sings, it always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. But I want to tell you something, that's more than just a service. That's our daily walk. They needed him when he was at home. They needed him when he was at when they were at the temple. And they needed him in between. We need his presence desperately. I've already said it more than once this morning. More than anything else in the service, we need God's presence. Our promotions, our plans, our programs, all of our gymnastics here will do nothing without the presence and touch of God. It'll be useless, dead, void, and vain. We need his presence. They were in the right place, and so are you this morning. And they were doing the right thing, and I suppose maybe we are this morning. And we're hanging around the right people like they were. But also, I'll tell you one thing, just like they were, we can be without his presence. Being at the right place and doing the right thing and being on the right path. Listen, there's nobody here that believes in standards and convictions more than I do. I believe that. But we can be gun barrel straight without his presence. It's useless. Oh, it'll be legalism. And I'll tell you one thing, that won't work. We need to realize how important his presence is. And we need to make sure that his presence is with us all the time. Here, the best of the best. That's who was in this crowd. From Joseph to Mary, right on down the line. The best of the best. And no one noticed that he wasn't with them. They traveled for a day and didn't realize. They assumed he was there, but he wasn't. He wasn't. I wonder, are we assuming the Lord's with us? Are we assuming because we come to church that he's going to automatically be here? Are we to assume that as we live our daily lives, we can just make decisions without his help and without really praying and it's going to be all right? Are we to assume in this very difficult day, very dangerous day, that without his presence we're going to make it by? I'll tell you one thing, we better not assume that we don't need him. We need him desperately. It's easier than we realize to live our lives without his presence and not even notice it. They went a day. I wonder how long we go. I'm talking about the spiritual people, but I'm also talking about the serious problem. They were assuming, and I want you to look at this. Verse 48, they not only were assuming, and that's a problem, but they were angry, and you better believe that's a problem. Verse 48, Mary, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Now, I want to tell you something. When you're talking to the Lord, and she knew who he was, you better watch. Say, what in the world do you think you're doing? I'm telling you what, that ain't a good way to approach God. She said, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I saw thee sorrowing. She says, son, what in the world have you done? Now listen, if it's a mama talking to a son, I can understand that, and that's what's going on here. But there's more than a mama talking to a son. There's a lady talking to God. And she's upset at him. How could he do such a thing? How could he hurt us like this? How could he do this? But wait a minute. Who left whom? Huh? Did Jesus leave or did they leave? Why are you complaining, Mary? You're the one that left him. Now, I'll just say this and I'll try and be gentle and go on. A lot of what we face in our lives is because we've forgotten about God's presence and ignored God's will and thought we could make it on our own. And we made decisions on our own, and we've gone our own way, which may be good as far as the surface of it. I mean, they're doing some good things, but they're missing the most important thing, the presence of God. And if we aren't careful, we'll do that in our lives, making our own decisions, going our own way, doing the best we can, but lack His presence. And I'll tell you something, we're going to end up in trouble. And when we do, we better not try and blame Him. It's not His fault. It's our fault. Why are we complaining to Him? Listen, what they said was true. What she said was true to an extent, but it did not excuse them from walking off from their son, walking off from the Lord, leaving the presence behind. I've mentioned spiritual people and the serious problems. I want to mention the sensible plan. I don't like getting in trouble, but once I get in trouble, I sure do want to know how I'm going to get out of trouble. I don't like to get into a box, but once I get in that box, I sure do want to know how to get out of that box. And the plan that's here in these verses is very sensible and it's really very simple. Notice what it says in verse 44. What did they do when they realized He wasn't there? Notice in verse 44, just four words. Went a day's journey. In other words, when they left the temple, they went a day's journey. And for them, all they were doing was stopping for the night. They thought this is just like before, just like last year, just like the last time we went to church. We're heading back home. We can't make this 70-mile trip in one day. We travel as far as we can. When we get so far, we stop for the night. So this sensible plan includes the fact that they stopped. Now, for them, again, it was just an ordinary stopping for the night. But I think there's a spiritual significance to it. If we find out we are missing the presence of God, or even if we don't even realize it yet. See, they didn't realize it yet. We need to stop. We can be so busy, they're going, doing good things, doing the right thing, listen, going to the right places, all that, hanging around the right people. They're busy and all those things are great, but they miss in their hectic activity, they miss the fact He's not here any longer. He's no longer amongst us. They stopped. I tell you this morning, every one of us need to stop and ask us, where is my God? Is He with me? Or am I running my life myself? Is He with us when we go to church? I'll tell you, there's been one or two times since I've been here, I just said, let's pray and go home. Because He wasn't here, He wasn't moving. We just will go to the Moose Lodge without the presence of God. Our singing means nothing without His presence. Our giving means nothing without His presence. This preaching and teaching means nothing without His presence because it's all powerless. It's all useless without His touch. Only He can convict a sinner. And if He's not here to convict, we're wasting our time. I'm wasting my time hollering. We need His presence. Only He can convict a sinner. Only He can comfort a troubled heart. Well, I want to tell you something. When you come troubled and burdened and heavy-hearted, you need some real help. And that help won't come from me screaming or even somebody singing because it'll be dead as 4 o'clock without His presence, without Him touching, without Him working, without Him moving. We need His presence more than anything else in this church. But listen, they didn't just go to church. They're heading back home. And they need Him at home. But by the way, they need Him in between the church and their house. What's that mean? They needed Him all the time, and so do you and I. We need Him and His presence controlling our life, influencing our life, directing our life, empowering our life. I'm talking about a simple, sensible plan. They stopped. At least finally somebody did notice. Wait a minute, where's Jesus? And boy, I'll tell you one thing this morning. We need somebody who will say, where in the world is the Lord's presence at? Where is he? Where did he go? What do we do to get him back? Doing our good stuff without his presence is useless. At least somebody noticed. And sadly, nowadays, there's some who don't even notice. There's some that go through their lives, their daily routine, go to church, sit in the service, participate in the service, without his presence, without his touch, without his help, without his influence, without his power, and they don't even realize it. They think that's what the Christian life's supposed to be. Some didn't notice, some didn't care, some did notice, some do notice, and all they did was complain. And it's easy to say, what in the world's wrong with the church? What in the world's wrong with Jim? What in the world's wrong with Susie? What in the world's wrong with my job? What's wrong with my boss? What in the world's wrong with my wife, my husband, my children? What in the world's wrong? What in the world's wrong? Well, it may just be because he's not with us. I'm talking about they stopped and they looked and said, wait a minute, Jesus isn't here. And they didn't know that until they stopped. This morning I want to ask you to do me a favor more than that. Do yourself a favor. Stop. And ask yourself, where is Jesus in my life? They not only stopped, I'm talking about a sensible plan. They have now realized Jesus isn't here. What are they going to do? They stopped, then they sought. Look in verse 44. They supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. They sought him there amongst the family and friends to begin with, and he's nowhere. Have you seen Jesus? No, I don't know where he's at. So they go back to where they last saw him. They are seeking now. They're looking. They know the importance of the presence of God and the presence of their Son, and they want that presence back. They want Jesus, so they're seeking. I see it still. Most of the time, if we ain't careful, we'll just try and get a new plan, initiate a new program, sing louder, scream louder when you preach. Be more sympathetic. Be more kind-hearted. But listen, we need his presence. Somebody needs to seek him, go after him and say, Lord, please, we need you. They sought him. And they looked for him where they saw him last. I thought about the prodigal and how he came back home. He came back to where he left the presence. He came back to where the Father was. And friend, that's what we need to do. We need to get back to where we saw him last. That's what the Revelation says. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. We need to get back to where we were and do what we were doing and realize we need God's presence more than anything else in the world. Say it again, I'm done. They were doing right, doing it the right way with the right people, but they lacked his presence. Something was missing. Look in verse 49. I've got to mention this. Jesus, when Mary comes, wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He said, don't you understand? And this is a whole new message. When she came and asked him, what are you doing? He said, don't you understand? I am here to do the Father's will. I am working even now at 12 years old to do what the Father wants me to do. So here's my point. They're here, a day's journey from Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph. And Jesus is there in Jerusalem. And where is he working? He's working, very simple, where he's at. He is working, but he just isn't working right there with them at that time. They had to go back where he's at. I hope you get that. He's going to do his will. And our Father will do his will. And to tell you the truth, I want to be a part of that. They went an entire day and didn't notice Jesus wasn't there. They just assumed he was. But I want to ask you a question. How long do we go without noticing? Where's he at? Where's his presence? I know Jesus was working. I know he was doing there something with those scribes, and he was talking, and he was doing the Father's will. But you want to know something else I think he was doing? I think he's waiting on Mary and Joseph to come back. Waiting on them to come back. To finally realize how much they need him, and to finally realize he's not there with them. And I just wonder this morning if the Lord isn't just sort of standing by waiting for you to come and say, Lord, I don't know how it happened, but I've left you behind somehow. Somehow, some way, you hadn't been with me, and I need you. I need your real presence. I need your real help. I wonder if he's waiting for somebody this morning to finally notice he isn't with you. Tell you one thing, he wants to be with us more than we want him with us. I believe he smiled when Joseph and Mary came up. We need his presence. We need his power more than ever.